You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
How do I measure if I'm growing in submission to God? I will have respect for authority, not just church authority and not just secular authority, all authority. I just told you out of Romans 13 that every soul must be subject to the governing authorities. That's beyond church or beyond your job or beyond law enforcement. All of it must be subject. It doesn't mean that no one can violate you. Nobody's talking about that. We're talking about within the decency and the confines of the law.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Monitoring Progress. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 5 and 12.
Israel was able to see that he fed them with manna, but they got tired of it. Moses said, man, this manna must be a metaphor of something else that's coming. I liken it unto your word. I see your way. You feed us every morning. Do you want us to dine on your word every morning? Some people miss it. They just, well, when is the next shipment coming in? But God wants to teach you his way. The next shipment comes in because I'm sovereign. But if you want favor, obey me and worship me. For God to extend days, sometimes he will require somebody that's connected to just lift up holy hands. You mean to tell me if I worship him, he extend days? That's the way of God. I get up, put my feet on the floor, come to church. It's not just laborious, but when I do that, he gives favor to my children. When I forgive somebody, when I forgive them of their trespasses, he releases me of the mental strain of my own sins. I'm heavy, Bishop. I'm heavy. Well, the way of God is, if you serve me, I'll let you rule and reign with me. So instead of you just serving and picking up dirt and moving it from one place to the next, now I invite you to the table to sit with me to judge the nations. Oh, my God. The ways of God. If you give him a first fruit, he guarantees your entire harvest. Let me say it again. Somebody didn't catch it. I said, the way of God is you give him a seed, you give him a first fruit, but he guarantees the entire harvest. That means their money's gonna come in from multiple directions if you just sow a seed. Understanding his ways, man, moves him. Glory, hallelujah. When I come to church, I don't just come because I know church. I wanna know why he does it. Why do you lend your heart to the homeless? Why do you say that's justice? Why do you call it justice when you remember those that are in the margins? What is man that you are mindful of him? Oh, you made him a little lower than the angels. So why would you be concerned about him? A lion can kill him, or a wasp if he has an allergy. Or the measles. Yet you're so mindful of him that if he calls on you, you could be in another galaxy creating new worlds and you'll come all the way back because you're inclined to his cries. Oh my God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The more you get with God, you start thinking eternally. you start seeing things differently. It starts with calendar. It ends up with Kairos. It starts with Logos and ends up in Rhema. It starts with the written word, and then he turns it around and processes it, and he makes the word become flesh, or Rhema to you, a tailored word for your situation. But it starts with being faithful to the Logos. Romans 13, everyone must be subject to the governing authorities. Verse 1, everyone must be subject to the governing authorities. We need to be subject to judges and the priests, even if they don't go our ways. We must have rule of law. Even if you don't like police, when you're pulled over, stop. Stop arguing with them. That's what this is about. This is what needs to be taught to all children. I was riding in our hometown years ago, and I saw my youngest brother. He's always got the flip off at the mall with police. So anyway, they pulled him over, and he jumped out the car, and I pulled over too. And so I was yelling at him. I said, "Keep your mouth shut! Keep your mouth shut!" So this cop thought I was the. "You step back!" I said, "That's my brother. I don't want him shot." And the cop like, "Whoa." So I said, "Let me speak to him." I said, "Keep." He said, "They're pulling me." I said, "Shut your mouth and just comply." Amen. Now, who's in your life or in your son's life or in your daughter's life that's talking like that? Not about them in your family tree that says you are going too far. Your attitude is off. Where is the masculine and the feminine voice that speaks into the family tree about what's going on in your family? Everybody want to talk about everybody else's family. But who's the voice in yours? To say submit to the governing authorities. You so mad, you have no gun, never fired one, and you're going to argue with a man that's carrying a 9 mil. At the time, it was a 40. It snaps when you fire. Pow! It snaps when you, a 40 snap, pow! You can take a 9 mil, pow, pow, but a 40 snaps. And here are the ladies when they join law enforcement. "I want a 40. That's what the ladies say. "I want a 40. I can fire a 40. The men got 40s. And when they put that 40 in their hand and it snaps, pow! She's like, "Whoa! Because you want to do what men do, just stick with the 9. Stick with the 9. Learn how to handle the 9. The 40 snaps, and you can't do what the men do. You're more equipped for the 9. 9 mil, y'all. I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to show. Them ladies, this is law enforcement around the country. They turn in their 40s. They give us the 9 back. Because it snaps. And you got to hold it on the target. So why would you argue with somebody that's been trained carrying that? You need to be quiet and so we can live another day. Amen. Let every soul be subject to the what? Governing authorities. I need all security in ministry to be sober. Look at the access points. Nobody should be in security just talking to people. You got to open up your eyes. Because there are people, you're going to see soft targets in churches. Churches are becoming soft targets in movie theaters. Netflix is killing movie theaters. But churches are thriving. And so we got to have security around us and walking around and not, you know, trying to get up in everybody's face and getting phone numbers and things of that neighbor, looking at the pretty ladies and winking and all of this other stuff when your eyes should be open. Didn't you see The Matrix? Didn't you see Morpheus walking with the one, with Neo, and he's in a program and he's walking, got his arms behind his back, and they're playing some good music, and Neo is looking around bumping into people because he's not familiar with it. And all of a sudden, here comes a lady with a red dress on, and he stopped looking at her. Next thing you know, here come an agent, got his gun right on him. And he used the program to show you can't get distracted. Yet a lot of people are distracted with the pretty woman wearing red. You got to be able to take a glance at her and keep your eyes right. Look at her. But glance, man, what you staring for? You got to take a glance and keep moving. I said take a glance. And keep moving, keep stepping. Especially if you're security at the gate. You stuck? Let the 2-year-olds get stuck. Let the 25-year-olds get stuck. You 50? You 70 and stuck? Man, that was a man joining his, God bless his soul, he passed away, man, white beard. And he came and sitting on the second row. This is a huge man, right? And the dancers came out. That man was staring at the dancers so bad. I was like, this is crazy. Somebody sent me a message, say, look at that man, Bishop. that man was looking at the ladies bouncing, and he just staring. So I called him in the office. I said, "You all right?" He said, "I'm all right." I said, "You have a problem with pornography?" He said, "Why do you say that?" I said, "Because you stare at the women." You know what he said? "I've had a problem for 50 years. It's deep." I said, "If you want to thrive here, you got to get put that in check. Because some of y'all like the way they look when they stare at you. And then you start in your spirit inviting that. And I'm trying to take our people to another place. I want you to be noticed, but you don't need to be engrossed." Amen. The man then asked me to help him, honestly. He was 70 years old. And I started praying with him and worked it out. I said, "If you can't control how you move, then sit to the back of the church. I don't want to see that no more. And I don't want nobody feeling funny when they dance up here." So you don't even know about conversations like this. This is the stuff I do. So I'm asking our men, those of you that are walking around and got yourself together, you 50, 60 years old, and you still looking at the woman in the red dress, or you got, you know, you moving in a way that ain't right. I'm telling you, if you're on my team, get your head together. One day y'all gonna say, "Man, we had a good bishop. He was good, man." That man, who that man? Listen, I don't play the rodeo. Let's get back to the word. How do you measure submission to God? How do you measure your submission to God? One, write it down. First of all, you have respect for authority. How do I measure if I'm growing in submission to God? I will have respect for authority, not just church authority and not just secular authority, all authority. I just told you out of Romans 13 that every soul must be subject to the governing authorities. That's beyond church or beyond your job or beyond law enforcement, all of it. Must be subject. It doesn't mean that no one can violate you. Nobody's talking about that. We're talking about within the decency and the confines of the law. I've seen church folk and leadership take that and say you can't question leaders. I said this is how you measure your submission to God. It's your respect for authority. So even if you question authority, it's a way to do it. It's a way to do it. It shouldn't be no name calling or none of that when it comes to authority. There's some things that we're going to do, and there are things that we're not going to do, even if we're upset. Years ago, I'm a growing leader. Years ago, I had nobody to teach me how to sit on a throne. I didn't know when you deal with bankers, you need to sit up straight. So I was kind of reclined when we were talking to a banker at Huntington Bank about some things we needed to do. It was the first time that I really sat down with bankers to speak to them. I didn't know. Nobody wrote it up and said, this is how you do it. And I was a little too reclined, like just kind of laid back while I was talking. And Miss Wanna, W-A-N-N-A, Wanna Richardson, she's gone on to be with the Lord. She's been gone for 10 years. She was 70 when she died. She would have been 80 this month. Maybe the 5th. I think the 5th of December. She gave you a word, didn't she? Fred told she, what did she say? And she was basically saying, listen to him, right? Make sure you comply and flow. You heard what he said? He said that she told him, a lot of times we don't appreciate a gift until it's taken from us. This is a woman who's on her dying bed and told Fred Douglas, this is what you need to do. She was a great friend of this ministry. A great friend. She came out of New Jersey. She was Methodist. And she joined maybe in the second or third year of the ministry. A dentist in the ministry at the time brought her to church. She had some dental work. And she said, would you like to come to our church? And she came. And then she came back again. Her father was dying of cancer. And so she asked me after coming a few weeks, you know, would I come to them and give him last rites? I didn't know her, but I felt led. So I talked to the wife. She said, let's go. I took off work. She wasn't a member. And I went to Palm Bay Hospital and went in. And he was in so much pain that I never saw anything like it. And her mother, what was her mother's name? Leona. Was singing over the man. And she was telling him things like, you let me raise the family and you let me raise the neighbor's children. Now go to your rest. And I hadn't seen a family dynamic like that, and it arrested me. I went in to help them, but I was moved. That man lasted another week. And in that, they were able to reconcile. The mother said, I don't want my pastor to go to the hospital. This is not Rich Wanna. Her mother told her, I don't want my pastor to go to the hospital. I want you to get that young preacher and let him come to the hospital and bless your daddy. So I did it. I didn't know why. I didn't have anybody to teach me. But God was in it. Y'all understand? I'm trying to talk about growth markers. You don't even have to have training. But are you submitted? I didn't just take off work. I called in. I didn't just go. I talked to pastor. I didn't just do what I wanted to do. I respect lines. And God opened up the door for me to stand there. Now I'm standing here. And the mother is singing. And Wanna Richardson was 50 at the time. Well, after that, she said, yeah, baby. After, I'm telling a story, y'all. Don't go to sleep. Y'all with me? I tell good stories. Somebody better tell me, when are you going to get back to the Word? I'm in the Word, man. He lasted another week, and then he passed away. So Wanna said, I'm taking my father to New Jersey. But when I come back, I'm going to join the ministry. I appreciate the way you work with us. I didn't know who she was. Man, that lady joined the next week. She could play the organ. She was a poet. She was an administrative genius. She was a Methodist, I mean, to the max. She knew the word. She helped to start a college in Africa. She could cook beef tips. I went to Africa, man. When I came back, she had a whole lot of people sitting at the airport, and they was, welcome back, Bishop, welcome back. I was like, man, what's going on? And man, she had beef tips. Gravy. I mean, that lady could cook, man. Whew, Jesus. She took our kids and taught them how to dip strawberries in the chocolate when they were little babies. She could take a sanctuary and then turn it through method and turn it into a banquet hall right after service. So we didn't have to go to the, she would take this and it looked like a banquet hall in 30 minutes and had everybody with, she was organized to the max. And she had everybody with their little containers and they, okay, you take this out and you put this in. And she never raised her voice and her ankles were swollen. She had a heart condition. I said, you need to sit down. No, when I die, I want to be serving here. That's what she said. So when we go to the bank, she was with me. She's the one that said, don't feed him on paper plate. Feed him on china. Just like that. So you come in and say, y'all, what y'all, y'all think he's a king? I had somebody, he's a king? She said, no, we're showing honor. I wasn't raised like that. My mother had us eating from pie pans. My mama said, I don't want to wash dishes. So she took pie crust pan. See, grape jelly used to come in jars. She'd take a grape jelly jar and turn that. That's the glass you drink out of. So we, my mama had six boys, and we drinking out of grape jelly jars. I didn't know. I didn't know that you're supposed to take a fork and slice your meat. I just grabbed the turkey. Pastor Sabrina liked me, though. I grabbed a turkey. She said, you raw. I didn't know. I didn't know you're supposed to line it up and cut it and slice it. If it fell off the table, I said, Lord, don't give me no worm. Don't give me no germs. Don't make me sick. Don't make me die. I didn't know. I didn't know. He called me the pastor. Everybody could be sitting there, man. If it was funny to me, I'd just fall out laughing. I didn't know, but she went to the bank with me. I didn't know. I was sitting in the bank, kind of reclining like that while they were talking. When we got back to the church, and she said, you don't sit like that with them. You sit up. And so I said, yes, ma'am. And I sat up. You know what was in me? I didn't know. I said, what are you yelling at me for? She said, you never let them see you slouch. You just as important as they are. I said, I'm just as important. They look at your posture. I didn't know. I wasn't in those realms. I didn't go into a boardroom. The first time I did a wedding, nobody taught me. I didn't know. So I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And so the next day, it was on a Tuesday, the next day when I came into work, and she met me at the door, and her whole blouse was soggy from tears. I mean, it was wet, and her face was shining. I said, lady, what's wrong with you? She said, I got to talk to you. So I said, okay. And I walked in the room, in her office. And she said, the Lord spoke to me last night that you're his servant, and I need to be careful in how I talk to you. I said, no, ma'am. I said, no, ma'am. She said, no, no, I got to get this out. He told me that you've given me your ear, and I need to treasure it. And she reminded me of a passage of scripture in the book of Genesis when Jacob is leaving Laban's house, and Laban, his father-in-law, was upset with him. And the scripture says that God appeared to Laban and said, be careful what you say to him. I've chosen. Oh, my God. I want you to know something. You don't have to fight with in-laws or anybody. Man, if you get your, if you submit to authority, God himself will visit them and say, be careful how you move. Oh, my God. And she said, he rebuked me and told me to repent to you. And after that, she started moving in a different way. I'm not saying that for people to treat me a certain way. What I'm trying to say is that I didn't know. And she taught me and demonstrated it. And anybody coming into my office after that, if they came in mad, she was the one saying, ah, ah, ah. Don't you get your face saved. I think we need to have respect for authority. And one of the markers of that respect, one of the markers of submission, is respect for authority.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Monitoring Progress, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
High school seniors, don't miss your chance to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. This program supports future leaders through STEM and STEAM education. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter and are due Monday, January 26th. For details, email elders@truthreveal.org. Registration is open for Six-Man, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app, website, or scan the QR code to register for this action-packed event, which promises to be an unforgettable experience. Take advantage of the combo package, and remember to order your conference t-shirt, polo, and jersey.
Again, thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Greetings. This is Lucian Gandolfo, Senior Pastor of the Beacon Baptist Church in Melbourne, Florida. We are hosting a 15-week series on effectual prayer. It will be on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. from November 5th through February 25th. The Bible tells us in James 5:16 that effectual, fervent prayers avail much. Prayer is the lifeblood of faith, yet it is what we believers often neglect and find most difficult to be effective in. Over these 15 Wednesdays, we'll examine from God's Word how you and I can indeed pray effective prayers that avail much. Prayer changes things, and it starts with us. In these challenging times, we urge you to come, learn, and pray with us as we put into practice what we've studied. Then just watch and see what God does. The Beacon Baptist Church is located at 3185 Aurora Road in Melbourne. Our website is beaconbaptistfamily.com.